Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Mem Hey. Today's we are holding on the top of Daf Mem Hey. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children and Li'ili Nishmas, his mother, called Bas Simcha LaShalom. We thank Dr. Landerer for the continued sponsorship of our Daf Yomi Shir each and every day. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. The Gemara on Amud Beis over here, Mem Hey Amud Beis, it's a very short daf. We have a total of, I think, 10 lines of Gemara and Mishnah all together, and they're all skinny lines, meaning you don't even have like wide lines. So 10 skinny lines on the entire daf. So we'll find ways to entertain ourselves, I'm sure. But the Gemara Namad Aleph is going to discuss how many people do you need to be mafkir something in front of in order for the hefker to be chal. Is there a difference in halacha if you're mafkir something in front of three people, in front of two people, in front of one person? And we're going to use that as a way of answering the stira that we asked yesterday between the two brisos as to whether when you are mafkir something, does it immediately leave your rishus or does it only leave your rishus once someone else is zocha in it? So we had a stira between two brisos. We had one answer to the stira yesterday where we said that basically harabiyosi harabanan, that the two brisos reflect two different opinions of Tanayim, but now we're going to suggest that both brisos can reflect the same opinion in Tanayim, and the key factor is going to be whether how many people one is mafkir in front of. And then Amud Beis is going to discuss, we're going to start a new parak, the fifth parak of Maseches Nedarim, and it's going to talk about if you have two partners in a chatzer, so to what extent, if they take a neder on each other, neder anaz, amizah, to what extent is there an iser for each one to enter the chatzer, to utilize the chatzer? So that's going to be the beginning of the Mishnah on Mem Hey Amud Beis. We'll see if we do the whole Mishnah today. I don't know what the plan is going to be. Let's take it as it comes. So we are holding again the top of Mem Hey Amud Aleph Iba Yaseima. So says the Gemara. We asked the stira between two brisos yesterday whether when someone is mafkir something, does it immediately leave his rishos or does it only leave his rishos once someone else is zoche in it? So it could be a second teretz to that stira is that even the brisa that spoke about being mafkir karmo l'shachar amarubatzro, we spoke about a case where a person was mafkir his vineyard and then the next morning he went and he harvested the vineyard, that even that brisa could be assuming like the shita of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah who says that hefker does not leave your rishos until someone else is zoche in it, until someone else goes and makes a kinyan on it. You're then going to ask, if it really doesn't leave your rishos till someone else makes a kinyan in it, why when a person was mafkir his vineyard and then he goes and he takes it back the next day, is it potter from Meiser? It should be chayve Meiser, never left his rishos, it was his the entire time, so he wasn't really zoche min a hefker. So the Gemara answers, ha da'afgrei ba'anpe trin, v'ha da'afgrei ba'ape tlasa, that the brisa of a mafkir sadeu, that it says in the seifa that until he or someone else is mafkir is zoche in it, he could be chozer from the hefker and he could be chayv and meiser even mida araisa. That's talking about where he was mafkir in front of only two people. So in such a case, the hefker does not leave his rishus until someone else is zoche in it. Whereas the brisa of a mafkir is karmo that we were just referring to, where we said that if he wakes up the next morning and he goes and his boats are that kerem, that he's in fact potra meiser because it's as if he was zochem in a hefker and not that it was his the entire time and that he's zochem in something that still belongs to him. That's talking about where he was mafker in front of three people. That even Rabbi Yossi, who normally holds that something does not leave your rishos, that something that you're mafkir does not leave your rishos until someone else is zocha in it, even Rabbi Yossi would be moda that if you're mafkir in front of three people, it does leave your rishos immediately. It's only if you're mafkir in front of two people that it does not leave your rishos immediately. So it's not that it's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi, that the two brises, the brises of the Mishnah reflect a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan. It's all Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi is more nuanced than we thought he was. We thought Rabbi Yossi holds that it's fundamental to hefker, that it doesn't leave your rishos till someone else is kona. It's not fundamental to hefker. When you're mafkir b'fnei shlosha, it leaves your rishos immediately. It's only when you're mafkir b'fnei shnayim that a taka becomes hefker, But it only becomes hefker insofar as someone else, anybody else, is allowed to go and be kone it, but it still remains yours until someone else is kone it. Why should it make a difference if it's b'fnei shlosha or b'fnei shnayim? Meaning, how does hefker work? Does hefker make it that it's not mine anymore immediately, or does hefker not make it that it's not mine immediately? Why should it matter whether it's in front of two people or in front of three people? So the Ran explains that someone who's mafkir in front of two people, his kavana is that one of those people should be zoche in it. How do I know that his kavanah is that one of those people that are right in front of him should be zoch in it? Because we assume that when only two people hear something, it doesn't have a kol. It's not, the word is not necessarily going to get out. But once three people know something, then we assume chavr chad chavr yisleh, and word is going to get out and the whole world is going to find out about it. That's the assumption. That's the assumption of Lashon Hara, that once three people know about it, we assume that that it's a well-known matter and you're not the one that's revealing anything new. A lot of people make the mistake and assume that that means that you're just allowed to say Lashon Hara once three people know about it. The Chafetz Chaim has a whole arichos where he goes through all the conditions that need to be met in order to utilize that heter of apitlasov, something that was said in front of three people. But the basic fact that only once three people know about it do we make the assumption that the whole world is going to find out about it, that's basically true. So over here, what we're saying is that if you chose to be mafkir only in front of two people, your intention must have been that one of these two people is going to be the person that makes the kinyan on it. So mela, it's much more like a matana than it is like hefker. And therefore, just like by a matana, the object doesn't leave your rishos until it gets into the rishos of the mekabel, until the person receives it on the other end. By hefker also, the din is like that. But if you're mafker b'fnei shlosha, so then there's a call, and it could be that other people will come to be zocha in the item. So mela, it's not like a matana, and even Rabbi Yossi is moda that it's going to leave the rishos of the mafkir right away, because there's no resemblance to a matana. It's a totally separate type of transaction called hefker. That's how the Ran explains, and that's how the Rush writes at first. That even someone who's mafkir b'fnei shnayim, the hefker is chal in that if someone else comes in and zocha in it, he's not able to be chozer. But the Rush wonders that from the Lashon of the Gemara, b'fnei shnayim lo have a hefker. We're about to see that the next line of the Gemara is going to be such a Lashon, that in front of two people it's not hefker, and that implies that it's not hefker at all. And therefore the Rush says, maybe the Ran is not correct. The Ran is saying that it's hefker in either event, whether you're mafker b'fnei shnayim, you're mafker b'fnei shlosha, it's hefker either way. The whole issue is it hefker that's more similar to a matana, or is it hefker that's just midin hefker? So the Rush says, nah, it sounds like b'fnei shnayim is not hefker at all, and therefore he explains differently than the Ran. And he says that when Rabbi Yochanan said earlier that the basis for Rabbi Yossi is that that something is not hefker ad shiyovel rishos acher, that until someone else goes and is kona in it, that's tafka Rabbi Yochanan's shita. But his Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok, holds that the basis for Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah is that someone who's mafkir b'fnei shnayim, it's simply not hefker at all. So the answer of the Gemara over here is going lefi shitas the Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok. And the reason the hefker is not chal at all, the Rush explains, is that since if you don't have three people, you're not going to be able to have a situation where one is zocha and shnayim me'idim, and two people are going to be made about it, as the Gemara is going to soon say, and you could always deny the fact that you were mafkir it, so it's not considered hefker to be motzi at mirushus, and therefore it's not going to be chal at all, meaning hefker is only, says the Rush, hefker only becomes hefker when it's provable that it actually became hefker, that you made it hefker. But if there's no evidence that you made it hefker, and you'll always have deniability of making it hefker, because you're not going to have one zocha and two made about it, so then it's not hefker at all. So b'fnei shnayim, not like the Ran says, where it's hefker, but it's a hefker that works more like a matana. No, it's simply not hefker at all. And that seems to fit the next line of Gemara, because the next line of Gemara shows or demonstrates that there is a chilik between being mafkir b'fnei shnayim and being mafkir b'fnei shlosha. Dam Rabbi Yochum Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok, kala mafkir b'fnei shlosha, have a hefker. When you're mafkir in front of three people, it's really hefker, even to the extent that it's going to patter from maestros. But b'fnei shnayim, lo have a hefker. When in front of two people, it's not hefker. So again, the way the Rush reads that line is straightforward. In front of two people, it's not hefker. The way the Ran reads that line is that no, in front of two people, it's not hefker gamur. Rather, it's as if the person is being makabel matana from you, and therefore there's no patur min amaisos. That's the way the Ran would read it, because the mafkir could be choser bo before someone else is zochen it, and then it's not going to be pat from maisos. But the way the Rush reads that line again is more literal. Now, the Ran writes in the summary of the sugya that the whole sugya is only according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that the basis of Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah is that since the hefker is not yotze from the rishus of the mafkir until it comes into the rishus of the zocha, so mela we could say the brisa that we quoted earlier is going kafi shitas Rabbi Yossi, the way Rish Lakish explained. But Rabbi Yochanan was rejected on Mem Gimel and Beis, and the maskana is like the reason of Rava within Rabbi Yossi, that it's a gzeri mishum matnas beis choron, the Ran says. Meaning we had two explanations of Rabbi Yossi's shita. So one of the explanations of Rabbi Yossi's shita is that it's fundamental to the way Hefker works, that it doesn't belong to the other party, that it doesn't leave your Rishos until the other party is kon it. But the other was mishum matnas beis choron. But Hefker is really yotzei mi Rishos hamafkir even before the other person is zochid. It's a mela. There is no machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan about anywhere else other than mudar hana'a. But when someone is mafkir sadehu, it's not totally in the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, because they only because they don't disagree about maisa. The brisa is kikulei alma, that which it says in the seifa that the hafkir is not yotzi mirshus mafkir until it comes into the rishus hazocha. That's must be like ula, that a mafkir lizman is lo shchiach, and therefore we assume that he doesn't want the hefker to be chal until someone else is zocha in it. Now, an interesting point that comes up over here, there's a Sefer Toldos HaAdam that quotes the following Maisa. It says that one time Rav Zalman Mivilna was traveling on Erev Shabbos, and he arrived at a hotel, and when he got to the Pesach Habayis, he got to the hotel room door, he saw that there was no mezuzah, but it was Lamata Mishlusha Elyon. The mezuzah was placed too low on the door. Most of the time, that's not the issue. Most of the time, mezuzahs are placed too high on the door. The halacha is that a mezuzah is supposed to be placed within the Shlisha Elyon, but at the very bottom of the Shlisha Elyon. So the bottom of the mezuzah should be right at the two-thirds mark up the doorway, which is a lot lower than you think it is. Meaning, visually, our eyes are, for some reason, play tricks on us, and we would estimate two-thirds the way up the door as being much higher than it actually is. So if you actually take a tape measure and measure where the two-thirds mark on your door is, your mezuzahs are going to look pretty low, and people are going to come over and say, "This mezuzah is a little low. Why is it so low?" But that's where it actually belongs. But if you have it lemata mishlisha elyon, it's a problem. So even though we put it a little lower than we would think, you have to be careful not to put it a lot lower than you think you put it, because it could be that that's a problem, that that's a psul. If you put it too high, which most people do, it's still kosher. It's just not ideal, but it's still going to be kosher. So Zalman came to this malon and he saw that this mezuzah was lemata from the shlisha elyon. It wasn't within the shlisha elyon on the bottom of the shlisha elyon. It was lower than the shlisha elyon, and he assumed that that makes it puzzle. But there wasn't enough time during the day to fix it, so he didn't go into the house until the balabayas was mafker the entire bayas, a hefker gamur b'fnei shlosha. He, I don't know why it wasn't easier to just fix it. Maybe it was double-sided glue tape that would have come off. I don't know. Maybe he didn't have another way to reattach it. But he got three people together, and they were mafkir b'fnei shlosha in order to before he would go into the house. So there's a lot of chidushim in that story. Rav Chaim Palaji in the Sefer Ruach Chaim on Yoredeya and Hilchus Mezuzah in Simon Reish Ayin Tes quotes this maisa, and he says that it's a very difficult maisa. He says min adin you don't need three people to be mafkir. And Tosfos writes that even beino levein atzmo you have a din of hefker. So why did he require that you have three people in front of it, three people there to be mafkir? Meaning the way the Ran reads our Gemara, certainly you don't need three people to be mafkir. It's just a din that when you're mafkir b'fnei shnayim, it it stays in rishus until it gets into the rishus of the zocha. But it is hefker right away. And furthermore, he says from this maisa, it sounds like if you're just a guest that's sleeping there for a night, that you're chayiv in mezuzah, and that you're not allowed to go into the house of the balabayas unless the balabayas was meniach the mezuzah kitikuna. He says, I don't believe it. He says the Chaim Pelagi, lo amin l'shmuazu. How could that be? That you have no chiv, you're just a guest in a hotel. When was the last time you check into a hotel that you brought a mezuzah with you and you put up a mezuzah? So he says, it can't be that such a thing. The guys in Netzias Y'kolo this past summer told me that a couple of years ago, Rav Twersky showed up for, he comes for a few weeks in the summer, and he came and he noticed there was no mezuzah in his room on the first night. So he said, oh, there's no mezuzah. And then they saw he quietly just went to the basement. It was late at night. He had just gotten there. He had just gotten off the plane. And he went to the basement. They realized he wouldn't go into the room until they found the mezuzah. So they found the mezuzah quickly, and they put one up, and they told the Rebbe, there's a mezuzah on your room. So he went back to his room to go to sleep. So that's the ma'isa they tell Rav Zalmala. So how do you make sense of this ma'isa? So there are some that suggest that since midrabanan, you need three people to make something hefker, because that's what our Gemara says. That's what our Gemara is about to say. Let's see it inside. Rav Shua ben Levi Amar. Rav Shua ben Levi disagrees, and he says, Dvar Torah afilu be'echad havi hefker. On a daraisa level, even in front of just one person, it's hefker. Mat hamamru b'shlosha. Why is it that the chacham require hefker b'fnei shlosha? Kidei she echad zocha, so that one person can be the one who makes the kinyan. Ushnayim Eden, and two people will be made about the ma'isa hefker, and the mafker won't be able to be kofer to deny the ma'isa hefker. So that's based on that line of Gemara, they're metarets with the story of the Zalmala. That mitrabanan, you need three people to make something hefker. Like Rabbi Shulman Levi says over here, that dvar Torah afilu be'echad have a hefker, but you need three people in order for one person to be zocha and two people to be meid, and also to save from an isser. According to one answer in Tosos, that you need b'mosav tlasa. So he wanted to be choshish for that shita whenever he could. Now this din that you could be mafkir a bias in order to patu you from mezuzah is a, where does that come from? That being mafkir the bias works to patu you from mezuzah. So it's based on the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kof Lamed Aleph. The Gemara in Shabbos says that machshir in Perek Rav Lozer Demila, that machshiri mezuzah are not docha Shabbos. There is a halacha that machshiri mila is a machlokas tanaim, that Reb Lazar's shita is that machshiri mila are docha Shabbos, and not only can you do an actual mila on Shabbos, but even whatever preparations are needed in order to prepare for the mila can be done on Shabbos, such as chopping down a tree to make firewood, to have a fire, to sterilize the knife to be able to use for the bris mila. All of that would be mutter to do on Shabbos according to Reb Lazar. So the Gemara discusses, what about other machshirei mitzvah? Are they docha Shabbos? So machshirei mezuzah are not docha Shabbos because it's not necessary. You could be mafker your bias and you'll be pot from mezuzah. So in the Sefer Mezuzah's Malachim, he quotes this Eitzah LaHalacha in a case where you don't have the ability to put up a mezuzah. Like if the mezuzah fell down on Shabbos, so you can't put it up. You're not allowed to be mosif al binyan b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to attach something to a binyan kavua on Shabbos. And mezuzah has to be attached securely. The halacha is that a mezuzah has to be attached properly. So it could be that it needs to be attached not just well enough that it will stay, but it has to be attached to the top and the bottom. Someone asked me recently, can you put up a mezuzah with Velcro, that it will stay for a long time? But as long as you don't touch it, it will stay forever. The whole kunst of Velcro is that it's easily removed. That you could, so it's certainly not lechanchila, right? To put up a mezuzah with something that's very easily removed. It's meant to be something that stays for a long time. It does not give the impression that it should be easily removed. So a mezuzah falls down on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be mosif al binyan b'Shabbos and put it right back up. Maybe you could be mafkir your bais, or on a weekday when you don't have another mezuzah and you found a psul in the mezuzah. So nevertheless, he quotes the Ruach Chaim that a person who's only a guest is allowed to sleep in a house that does not have a mezuzah, and we don't find any such isser. And he says the maisa that's quoted in the Toldos Adam, that he was mafkir the bais in order to be mezakah the bala bais, that he shouldn't be in a bais without a mezuzah, even though he himself didn't have any isser with it. Meaning that's how he touched up the ma'isa. That Rav Zalmala wasn't worried about himself. He's only a guest. He's only sleeping there for a night. He doesn't need a mezuzah. No, it's the other guy that needs a mezuzah. The balabayis is also staying in the house, so he needs a mezuzah. It was on the front door of the house. So the fact that he allows being mafker on Shabbos, that's also a chiddush, right? Are you allowed to be mafker things on Shabbos? When Shabbos Kilchusa talks about maybe the tzorich mitzvah, you're allowed to be mafker things on Shabbos. In Eishel Avraham, he discusses that if we're talking about where it's his house and he has no ability to be kona mezuzah because he's in a place where there are no mezuzahs, so if he's mafker his bias and it's all of his nechasim, you don't have a chiyuv to do such a thing, because then it's mevazuz yosem mechomish on the mitzvah. Meaning, if a person's house is more than chomish nechasav, what does he own already? So the house is worth a lot of money. It's worth more than 20% of his total holdings. So then you wouldn't be obligated to be mafkir your bayis just to do the mitzvah of mezuzah. That's not so pashut either. Minchas Chinuch writes that it could be with the mitzvah of mezuzah, you do have to be mevazvez yosem chomish. You do have to give up more than 20% of your money in order to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah, because it could be that the din of chomish nechasav is only when it's like a one-time mitzvah. So to chomish nechasav, to buy an esrog or something like that. But if it's a mitzvah that's every second of every day, that's in perpetuity and is always constant, so it could be that the compounding, just the build-up of one moment after another, of mitzvah, 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 every single second will require more than 20% of one's money to be mekayim the mitzvah. Okay, so that's one point about that story with the mezuzah. Another interesting point about being mafkir b'fnei shlosha versus being mafkir b'fnei shnayim is the Ran explains the difference between b'fnei shlosha and b'fnei shnayim in our gemaras. As we pointed out, that b'fnei shnayim it's doma l'matana, because you know that the word is not going to get out, but b'fnei shlosha, then that's a real hefker. So based on this Ran, the Nadi Yehuda writes in Madura Tinyana, Yerodeya Simen Kufn and Dalet to be mochiach, he uses this as a raya that there is a concept that the Gemara says elsewhere, that hefker la'aniyim is eino hefker. If you make something hefker just for aniyim, but I don't want any ashirim to take it, I made this hefker so that aniyim could take it, well, that's not hefker, that's targeted, so that doesn't count as hefker. So says in the Yehuda, when we say hefker la'aniyim is eino hefker, that's only if you're mafker for all aniyim stam. You just say, I'm being mafkir for all aniyim. But if you're mafkir to one or two people who happen to be in your company at that time, so that they could be zocha in it, that is hefker. Meaning, hefker laniyim eino hefker does not mean that the definition of hefker is that it has to be hefker for everybody or for nobody. No, if you have people that are actually present with you, you could be mafkir it for them to the exclusion of other people, right? To the exclusion of other people. Because otherwise, how could the Ran say that you're only mafkir al das echad mishneim, and that it's like a matana, that when you're mafkir b'fnei shneim, oh, what I'm really trying to say is I want one of you guys that are standing with me to be able to be zoch in it. That doesn't work. According hefker laniyim is eino hefker. You're not allowed to limit the field of people who can take it. So Rabbi Yossi, what, disagrees with Beis Hillel, who holds that hefker laniyim v'lo la'ashirim is eino hefker? No, it must be that if you're mafkir in front of those aniyim that you want to be mafkirid for, then it does work. And even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi in this Ukimta in the Gemara, and even b'fnei echad, it's hefker gomer min haTorah. But the very fact that mitrabanan you require in front of shlosha is for and the fact that you require in front of shlosha, we say in our Gemara, is for other reasons. But that which is muchach from this Ukimta, that if you're mafkir only al das echad oshnayim and b'fneiim, that it works to be zocha in it. So that the Gemara doesn't change its mind on. The Gemara just changes its mind on whether Hefker doesn't work at all in front of two people or one person. But the concept that Hefker can work in a targeted way, that the Gemara sticks with Lamaskana, says Nadi Yehuda. So even though the impression you get from Beis Hillel is, no way, Hefker laniyim is eino Hefker, you gotta be Mafker for everybody, a targeted Hefker can work if the person is in your presence. That is the Chiddush of the Nadi Yehuda. However, the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, he quotes this Nadi Yehuda and he disagrees. And he says, it's Adrabba, from our Gemara you have a Raya in the opposite direction. That in our Gemara the explanation is that if you're Mafker b'fnei Shnayim, then all you're doing is you're being Mesalik yourself from that object so that they have the right to be zocha in it. But you were not mafkir the object in the fullest sense, and kolzman that no one else was zocha in it, you could back out on it, and it's not midin hefker. Hefker b'fnei shlosha, you're not able to be chozer on unless you go and make an actual form of kinyan on it, just like anyone else could be zochem in a hefker. So it sounds almost like the Chasam Sofer brings the Ran a little closer to the Rush, right? That it's not really a hefker when it's bifnei shnayim, or it's fundamentally a different kind of hefker, but a targeted hefker generally does not work. If it's just a siluk from the item, then it's going to count, but a targeted hefker is not going to work. So this is a fundamental machlokas between the Chasam Sofer and the Nodav Yehuda. Okay, so Hadron Lach Ein Bein Hamudar. Now we move on to the next parak, the fifth parak of Maseches Nedarim. So this parak is a continuation of the discussion of Mudra Ana Mechavero, but our Mishnah in particular is going to deal with three cases. Yeah, new volume of articles. So our Mishnah in particular is going to deal with three particular cases. First of all, we talk about two people that have a chatzer that they share. It's a chatzer mishutefes, and their mudra ana zemizeh, which is a very bad idea if they live in such close proximity and they share a chatzer, but they take a neder ana one from the other. Or it doesn't have to be in both directions. It could be one is mudra mechavero, or let's say the Mishnah will talk about some third party is mudar from one of them. So the shaila is, what's the deal with the chatzer itself? The chatzer is jointly owned b'shutfus. So when I use that chatzer that I jointly own b'shutfus with the other guy, and I'm not allowed to get anah from him, is that called that I'm getting anah from his stuff, or is it not called that I'm getting anah from his stuff? Do we view it that wherever I am, whenever I am in that chatzer, that's totally mine? Meaning the arrangement is that as shutfim, whenever I use it, it's mine. Whenever you use it, it's yours. Or is it always both of ours? And therefore, whenever I'm using it, I'm getting anah from you as well. So that's issue number one that our mission deals with. Issue number two that our mission deals with is a person's mudra anah mechavero. Is he allowed to get hana'a from objects that belong to the madir but are currently being rented to other people? So it's something that actually belongs to the madir, so I shouldn't be allowed to get anah from it, but currently it's being rented to someone else. To what extent do we say schirus kanya, that someone else is renting it, then he's the real owner. I'm not getting anah from the original original owner. I'm getting anah from the person who's renting it. I don't have a neder on such a person. And third issue is, if a person is noder hana'a from someone else's bias, and then the madir dies or sells the bias to someone else, does the issa remain? Does the neder hana'a remain on that bias? So we're going to start with the issue of chatzer, of the joint chatzer. So hashutafin, if you have two people that have a chatzer, b'shutfis, and let's assume it's ein badin chaluka. So meaning normally you would imagine that if it's yesh badin chaluka, if it was big enough that you could just divide the chatzer in each one, so that's what they should probably do. But let's assume that it's ein badin chaluka. That's what the Ran writes. If it was yesh badin chaluka, then l'kul the Almut's going to be aser, meaning there's not going to be a machlokas. We're about to see a machlokas tanoim in our Mishnah. The Ran writes there would be no machlokas tanoim if it was yeshba din chaluka. The shear of a chatzur is yeshba kadei chaluka, is that each one would end up with a shetach of dalal amos al dalal amos. Aside from the arba amos that you need the lefnei pesach, that in addition to the arba amos you need the lefnei pesach for priko tiina to unload your bags and to pick things up and to whatever the basic four amos right in front of the door, that there would be an additional four amos for each party in the chatzer, and that's all explicit in the first parak of Maseches Baba Basra. So hashutaf, and you have two partners that are in the chatzer. Shenodru anah zemizeh, that took a neder anah one from the other. So each one is not allowed to get anah min nichse chavero. In general, we know, as we've seen already a few times, there are two types of mudra anah. There's a neder that you're not going to get anah min nichse chavero, that the yisur neder is chal on the guy's nechasim, and then there's a neder you're not going to get anah mechavero, from the guy himself, that any anah that comes from him is going to be usher to you. And in this situation, the Isra Neder is chal on the goof of the person, not on his nechasim. Rabbi Kivegra on the Mishnah is medayik from the Ran in our Mishnah that we're talking about a case where he asks himself on nichse chavero. Because if the Isra was on hana'as chavero and not on nichse chavero, then the shutof would not have an Isra of entering the chatzer, because the second shutof is chayiv to give the first one the right to enter the chatzer. And he's not doing him any favors. So it's not called that I'm getting hana'a mechavero when I go into the chatzer. It's your obligation. It's not something that you're choosing to do nice for me. So it's not, I'm not getting hana'a from you. But if the neder is a neder hana'a minichse chavero, then it's gonna, it could be usher, because sof I'm being nana from your chelek in the chatzer. You as a person aren't doing anything for me, but your nechasim are still giving me hana'a. However, the Machne Ephraim and the Mishkos Yaakov say that our Mishnah is talking about where you nodra na mechavero and not mi nichse chavero, but that's where Rabbi Kivya gives mizayik from the Ran. That it must be that the case in our Mishnah is that you nodra na mi nichse chavero. So you have two partners that own a chatzar b'shutfus, and then nodra na zemiza from each other's nechasim. Asurin likanes the chatzar, says the Tanakama, they're not, neither of them are allowed to enter into this chatzar that they jointly own, because each of them, when he enters the chatzar, when each one enters the chatzar, he's also being nichnas to the chelko shel chaveiro, to the other guy's portion in the chatzar. And even though maybe people aren't so makbid about drisas haregel in their chatzar, people don't mind if other people walk through the chatzar, the mudr is still not allowed to go into the chatzar, the madir, because even when people are mevater on certain things, that's still included in the neder hana'a. Even vitor is included in the neder hana'a. That's how the Ran writes. The Rush writes that even according to one who's matir vitor b'mudr hana'a, we already had that discussion as well, whether vitor is mutr b'mudr hana'a, the Rush says even if you hold that it's mutter b'mudr hana'a, this would be worse. We're going to ask the drisas haregel, because the whole discussion of whether drisas haregel being vitor, something that people are not makbid about, that's in a sada, where people, it's not such a private area, people are not so makbid about drisas haregel. But in a chatzer, people are makbid about drisas haregel in a chatzer. It could be that I have real estate, I have a field somewhere, that I don't mind that there's drisas haregel. But in my chatzer, that's my yard, that's my backyard, that's where my children play. So that I am a little more makbid about drisas haregel. So that's how the Rush makes that chilek. The Ran just assumes that our whole sugya is assuming that that vitor is also b'mudr hana'a. But the Rush says no, lav davka. Vitor is it could be mutar b'mudr hana'a, but this isn't vitor. This isn't something that people are mevater on. The Ritva writes that it could be that the Mishnah is talking about with the mudar was nichnas and was nene from the chatzar, not just by entering, and therefore even if you hold vitor mutar b'mudr hana'a, in that case it would be asur because he's nene, he stays longer than what he needs for the drisas haregel. So even though meikar dinei hashutfus, each one has the right to enter the chatzar, so therefore I can't ask you in a zuchus that you have, in, you know, when we're a shutfim, I'm not allowed to ask you in some right that you have. I can't ain't the most davar sheino shalom. So how could it be that I take a neder hana'a and now you're not allowed to go into a chatzar that you have rights to? No, but the Ran explains the zuchus of the shiba that each one has to enter into his chelek is not you're not mafkia that zuchus, because nedarim the zuchus of the you are mafkia that zuchus, a zuchus of a shibud that each shutuf has to enter into the other one's chelek, the neder can be mafkia, because the neder can't be mafkia something that belongs to you, but it could be mafkia a shibud. And the chachamim are working with the assumption, and this is the way the Gemara explains this elsewhere in Shas in the Masechta Baba Kama. The Gemara explains our Mishnah that the chachamim are working with the assumption that ein breira, that we don't say that at the time that the shutfim are kona the sada, they're kona al das, that when each one is using the field, then it's entirely his. He's using the chatzar, then it's entirely his. And it's bara davar l'mafreya when that's going to be. Meaning, when we started this partnership, what we were really saying is that there are going to be times where it's entirely mine, and there are going to be times where it's entirely yours. When are those times going to be? We don't know yet. We're going to have to see. When am I using it? When are you using it? So whenever I'm using it, it's entirely mine. Whenever you're using it, it's entirely yours. Huvra davar l'mafreya, that it's entirely mine or entirely yours during those times. So this Tana assumes that's not the way it works, because at the time of the Kinyan, we don't yet know when those times are, and we do not rely on Brera. You cannot retroactively clarify what the original deal was. If the original deal is that it's going to be entirely mine, entirely yours, then you have to know when it's going to be mine on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, yours on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Right? We have to have some sort of deal in place to the Huvra, Adavra, Mafreya. No, Ein Brera. That's the sheet of the Tanakama. Rav Lozer ben Yaakov Omer, Zen Nichnas Latok Shalov, Zen Nichnas Latok Shalov. Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov disagrees, and he says these shutfim are allowed to enter the chatzer, because Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov assumes Yesh Brera. That that's again how we explain these two shitos. That it's a machlokas about yesh breira or ein breira. That's how the Gemara explains it in Maseches Bava Kama, and that's how Rov Rishonim in our sugya explain it as well, based on the Gemara Bava Kama, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Ran writes that there are some Rishonim that are machalik between breira elsewhere in Shas and breira in our sugya, and they hold that Bekol Makom ein breira, but the breira in our sugya is maybe a stronger kind of breira, which you have sometimes throughout Shas. We have a number of sugyas about breira, and you always have to figure out, is it all the same? Meaning, is every type of retroactive clarification all the same? But that's the simple reading of our Mishnah, is that it's a machlokas with the yesh breira or ein breira. Blazman Yaakov holds yesh breira. So at the time that they were koned the chatzar, aldas, that each one will be able to use it when they need it, it's aldas, that when I use it, it's entirely mine. And when you use it, it's entirely yours. When is that? We're not going to find out until we use it. So that's good enough. You could rely on that. Each of the shutfim at the time that he's using the chatzar is therefore using a chatzar that's entirely his, and therefore they're not getting hana'ah from the other guy. It's only called that you're getting hana'ah from the other guy if it still belongs to him. That is how the Ran explains our sugya. However, Tosos and the Rush write that Huvar Adavar, that Li'olam, each one of them has bailus only on half of the chatzar, but it's just that wherever he walks at that time, that's his chelek in that chatzar at that time. Meaning, the way the Ran explains it is, it's my chatzar when I use it. And what if they're both using it at the same time? So whose chatzar is it then? So that's why the other Rishonim say, no, it's not that it's my chatzar when I use it. It's that it's going that normally the chatzar, you would think the chatzar is every molecule, every inch, every square centimeter of that chatzar is jointly owned by both of us. No, it's not that way. It's that I own half of the chatzar, you own half of the chatzar at all times. It's just that which half and which spots in the chatzar I own and which spots in the chatzar you own is forever changing based on where I am and where you are. And that's the breira, that we could both be using it at the same time, and we're each using something that belongs entirely to us, because the place where I'm standing, that's entirely mine, and the place where you're standing is entirely yours, because we each own half of the chatzar. The problem would be, what if one of them is using more than half of the surface area of the chatzar, more than half of the space of the chatzar? He's playing a baseball game. His kids are playing a baseball game, right? So they're using more than, than half of the surface. So according to this approach of the Tosos and the Rush, it could be that they're not allowed to do, that they never had the rights to do that, because they only own half of the chatzar at any given moment. Whereas according to the Ran, that's perfectly fine. That it's half the time, that whenever I'm using it, the entirety of the chatzar belongs to me. So exactly the mechanics of how we apply this breira is somewhat difficult. Now this comes up, this idea of our Mishnah comes up in a Tshuvas HaRivash relating to Sukkah. The Rivash writes that since you could be Yotze with a Sukkah Shu'ula, you could be Yotze with a borrowed Sukkah, meaning there's a sheet of Rabbi Lazar that you can't in Masechta Sukkah, that a person needs to own his Sukkah in order to be Yotze in the midst of Sukkah, that you can't be a guest at someone else's Sukkah, that you have to be an owner of the Sukkah. But he says that since we paskin, not like that, we paskin to be Yotze with a Sukkah Shu'ula, Kolshken, you could be Yotze with a Sukkah Shal Shutfin, because Sukkah Shal Shutfin is better than a Sukkah Shu'ula, because when you have a Sukkah Shal Shutfin, part of it is entirely yours, and the whatever is not entirely yours is considered Shu'ula, because that's the assumption of any Shutfus arrangement, that each one will be able to use it, as opposed to a Sukkah Shu'ula, where the entire Sukkah is not yours. And furthermore, says the Rivash, a Shutuf is not able to Aser on somebody else to be mishtamish b'chelko, to use his portion. Where did he get that idea? Because that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah. That Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that even if I want to take a neder, that you're not allowed to get hana'ah, I'm not authorized to do that. So that's why we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that you could be yotze with sukkah shu'ula, and you could be yotze in the sukkah shel shutfus. However, the Shari Tshuva writes that the Rash ben Arashbats in the Tshuva disagrees with the Rivash and holds that a sukkah sashutfim, where they're makbid ze'alzeh, is puzzled according to Rashi, Tosfos, and the Ran, and he quotes a number of other Rishonim that say that way. He says, however, the Rivash is also molded that if they're makbid ze'al ze, that it's going to be puzzled, But when is that ever going to happen? Meaning they wouldn't be shutfin if they're makbizels. I mean, the fact that they're building a sukkah b'shutfus, so yeah, partners get into disagreements and whatever and become makbizels within a week, you know, so it's unlikely that that would ever actually happen. Ushneim asurim lahamid rechayim v'tanur legadol tarnagolim. Just this last line, that both shutfim that are nodar ha'noz emizeh, while they're allowed to walk in the chatzer, neither of them are allowed to put a rechayim v'tanur and they're also not allowed to be Megalda Tarnagolim. Because if one of the Shutfim was Makbid about that, he's able to prevent the other one from having these usages of the Chatzar. And even though most people are not Makbid about this, they're not allowed to do this in the Chatzar because the fact that they're not Makbid is a way of being Mahana, the other person. That's considered, and the din is Vitor is Asr B'Mudrana. So even though it's something that people might generally be Mevataran, that's called that you're giving Hana'a to the other person. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up from there. And next week, for those online, next week I will be away. Alicia's going to be giving the daf all week next week. I'll be in Eretz Yisrael. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful week, everyone.